Hulk'un oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap dondusun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm in Canada. I'm here with one of my favorite people, one of the nicest people I know. Very cynical, very dry, but just a good dude. Mitch Clark, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is now legal in California, and there's no reason you should have to leave your house to get it, okay? Or your apartment or work. You know, you go to the dispensary, you got these hot bud tenders, you're like, try this, try that. Pretty much, you're stoned out of your mind. You get into your car, you get a DUI, now it's $20,000, okay? Or $25,000, you have a record, you get fired, your wife leaves you, your life goes to shit, okay? It's happened before. Maybe you're having a party, you don't have time to go to the dispensary. Maybe it's closed, maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's overnight. It's late at night, okay? Maybe people are going to rob you. Who knows, okay? However, you go to speedweed.com. They will deliver everything, whether it's CBD, whether it's vape pens, whether it's flower, whether it's CBD oil, whether it's indica, sativa, Obama Kush, whatever you need, they will take care of it. So that's something that you should definitely look out for. Go to speedweed.com. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, also mention MMA Roasted, and you get 10%. I mentioned Roasted, you get 10% orders of $100 or more. Life is good. How are you doing? What's going on with you?
I'm good. Just super busy. Going to school, wrestling with the university, pro wrestling, doing jiu-jitsu. Like tonight, we're doing promotion night, so I got a jet after this and yes. go do some promotions and working, and I'm just super busy.
Now, you went back to school, correct?
Yeah.
Now, how much school did you have left?
Well, I already have an environmental science degree, so I'm doing a whole new kind of degree in education. And, you know, so basically only some of my credits transferred over. So I know. And, like, because I went from the U of S, and then U of A kind of really considers themselves like a super high academic school. So like if the wording in the title was a little bit differently, they wouldn't take it. And I tried to fight them on it, but they just wouldn't take it. So, but life's good. I can't really complain.
Now, do people know you? Like when you walk around campus, do they know you're in the UFC?
No.
People point to you like, oh, that guy's a legend. That guy's the toughest guy out of Edmonton ever. No one ever like,
No, nothing. I think I'm just like, I just look like the cranky old guy that has to go back to school and deal with 19-year-olds.
Now, how old are you now?
32.
Now, is it hard? Like, because I almost thought about that. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm chasing this fucking dream. It's like hard.
Yeah, but you're good at what you do.
Well, you made the UFC and submitted Al Iaquinta and beat a lot of great guys. So you're very good at what you do as well. But part of me is like, maybe I should just go back to college. But I have a year and a half left, basically, of college. Maybe 2 years. But then I'm like, how am I going to make money while I'm in college? Because that's really hard to do. How are you managing to do that?
It's just picking your schedule. Part of it, too, is, I went to an academic advisor. I applied for a bunch of scholarships. I got some scholarships. I have a partial wrestling scholarship. I have... I have bursaries and awards that I get. I have a learning disability, so I get funding.
What's a learning disability?
I actually have two. I'm dyslexic, and I have moderate to high attention deficit disorder, apparently.
Come on, really?
I guess.
Every kid today has that.
Well, yeah, but it's a little bit differently when they're telling a 32-year-old that you have ADD, I guess. So I take advantage of those, and, I teach seminars. If you need a seminar, please book me.
Right. You saved some money from the UFC.
Yeah, 100%. And, I made some investments, some good investments. And,
What did you invest in?
I got a bought out from the gym I was at that I was partially owned. And then, back home, just in proper stocks and stuff like that. And, I missed the big marijuana train in Alberta and in Canada, unfortunately. So, actually, back to that... The other last week, did you see when Jake Shields like printed that the Jake Shields like Twitter handle, and they posted like Mitch has a warning for pot smokers, and it's like,
you have a warning?
No, it's the most ridiculous thing. I was driving to pro wrestling practice,
right,
and I watched these two kids, like two skater kids, like with classic like a punk mohawk, and they're trying to hand a joint to each other while they're on their skateboards, and you could tell that it wasn't really working. So I'm waiting at the stoplight, and I watch them both just eat shit on the pavement trying to hand it to each other, and yeah. I tweeted about it because it's funny.
That is funny.
And he's like, oh, Mitch has a warning, and you know, and it's like,
that's not even Jake Shields, by the way. I don't know who's doing the, like, it's like they, who has some company, MMA Imports, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And they bought out all these, like, Uriah Faber, Kat Zingano, Jake Shields, all these big yeah. fighters that have followings, and they tweet out Cyborg.
Yeah.
And they tweet out these ridiculous, you know, things, these stories that aren't even, like, real stories. And then they sometimes, like, they actually stole one of my jokes, but they gave me credit in, they took one of my jokes, and they put it in, I forgot what it was. It was something where somebody's fighting. Somebody said that they were going to fight recently, maybe a boxer. Oh, no, and I said, 50 Cent. I said, it'll be his first hit in 20 years if he lands a punch. And they took that and used it as the actual headline of the article, and then yeah. and then credited me in the article, but not in the headline.
No one cares about that. No, right. No one's even going to even read the.
I know, and I was like, that's fucking, and then I was like, ugh. But if I was Uriah Faber, unless they're making a lot of money, or Jake Shields, or Kat, I would not let them do that. I don't know what they're being compensated, but it's sort of like, you know, it's not them, and it's kind of like, really? Like, I want to hear what Uriah Faber actually has to say about something, not MMA Imports.
Yeah, you know, like, I like guys like Jake Shields. I follow him because I really like the way he grapples. You know, Uriah Faber, same thing. You know, he's a great fighter, lots of knowledge and stuff like that. But it was a stupid thing to put. And like the thing is too, is like I have a medical marijuana prescription, so it's like it makes no sense. And if you read any of my other tweets beforehand, you realize that it's just observational crappy humor. That
no, you're very funny, dude. No. I follow you. You're hilarious. I sometimes wonder because you'll be making fun of the person sitting in front of you in class, or two people ahead, or like telling you how you want to smack the teacher. And I'm like, is this getting back to the teacher, or does anybody know it's you?
Because I took the PAC wrestling class, and the wrestling coach, I've noticed him like a couple of them. Like,
oh, okay.
So I stay away from him. I don't usually rip on him, but he likes the weirdest ones. Like, why are these walls so sticky in the lecture hall? And like, why do you like that, Owen? And you know, stuff like that. It's just I think it's my way of kind of dealing with the fact that I feel very out of place. Socially, I'm awkward, but just even more awkward going back to school, and everyone talks about safe spaces. And
really? That really happens?
Oh, it's day one lecture. Every day is like, this is a safe space. You can say something. And I remember in my health ed, one of the instructors was saying how, I remember the first day talking about safe space. And then she went on to talk about the importance of health and wellness. How she had diabetes type 1, I think. So the not your fault diabetes.
Right.
And she then later on, like a week later, she's talking about how she loves Pepsi, and I'm like, I don't think you get to have any of that. That's a no thing.
Of course. And plus, I don't think like even with the safe space in colleges, like they say they have it, but then if you actually are a Trump supporter, or you are, you know, you kind of lean to the right, then all of a sudden you get attacked. So it really, it's almost like it's a liberal safe space.
It's a weird. You're only allowed to exclude if you dig your heels in about like gun rights or like it's the weirdest thing. And I'm very lucky. The parents I had, I'm very, you know, accepting of whatever. If you're Buddhist or
right.
or Catholic or gay or straight or, you know, black or white or brown or purple or whatever, it's you are who you are. I don't have to like you. I don't have to talk to you. I'm more worried about who you are as a person,
not, as an individual. Not as identity politics. Not, oh, you're black, so you're gonna feel this way.
I think that's what
everyone's aiming for, is to be individuals. I mean, Martin Luther King said, you know, you'd be judged by the content of your character, not the color of your skin, which I just butchered. But I'm saying, yeah, it just seems like it's a strange time to live right now. I gotta say, when I went to college. You know, the first time I went to SUNY Binghamton, I was so worried about being liked and popular, and I go to the cafeteria and say hi to like everybody in the cafeteria. Hey, what's up? Go to parties, 45 minutes of frat parties thing. And then I went to Hofstra as a junior. I didn't know anybody. I sat by myself, and I was so much happier by myself, like just not caring, not being known, not having to like put on this. It's weird. It must be strange for you going back to college at 32 and knowing what you know now, being in octagons with fighters, like being a man's man, being like quasi-famous, and now you're going back and like are you going to any parties? Are you actually having fun? Are the kids actually like you? Or
I get along with people who are kind of similar-minded. Like especially the wrestling team, I get along with all the guys really well. And, you know, there's always one or two people in every class that kind of, you know, we get along really well. I don't extend myself too far. I was going to join a frat. I got invited to join, and I was like, you know what? Let's not do this. I went and it was just not my thing. And they're talking about like, we'll teach you how to be a man. And like, listen, I'm at least 7 years older than all of you here. And like, I've done some manly stuff. I don't need to be taught how to be a man
teach you how to be a man. I think your last fight, you were gushing blood. Your eye was hanging out. Your leg was broken. Your ear popped. And you're like, no, I want to keep fighting. I don't think anybody in that frat could do what you did.
Yeah, I would have kept fighting if they would let me, to be honest.
I got to ask you, wrestling team, right? So you go out with the wrestling team. Well, how much do you weigh?
Right now?
Yeah.
Like mid-190s.
But what did you wrestle at this year?
82 kilos, so about 180.
Now, did you start? Did you make the team? Were you first? Or did you get beat out?
No, I'm second string. The main guy at 82, national champion last year, national champion this year. So, but he's a great training partner. And I was like, you know, the big thing, I was coming back. And I was like, you know, you think that I'm getting my ass kicked every day in practice. But still, you know, I'm still getting better. First match, I'm like, oh, it's going to be just like dealing with Nick. And then I take the guy down, cradle him, 15-second pin. And right. I was like, oh, that's way easier than practice.
Right.
So, you know, like it's a tough thing where...
Is it weird, though, being a UFC fighter and then being second string on your wrestling team?
No, because like all the guys do is just wrestling. And like I still do jiu-jitsu. I still wrestle. I do a little bit of boxing. You know, I train my butt off, but, you know, it's just especially during the summer, I'm going to really focus on A, putting on the weight, and B, really focusing on just being very freestyle wrestling specific.
How many years left do you have of college?
Two.
Oh, so it's freestyle wrestling. It's Canada rules, right?
Yeah. No, it's the world's rules. Like, you guys have the one weird style.
I know, but it works for us, kind of. Okay, so you have two more years of college. Now, what about this guy in your weight class? What does he have?
I think he has one, maybe two. If I get super fat and go to 90 kilos, maybe I can kind of wrestle off and get a spot there. I don't know if my bones can kind of support being 90 kilos, considering I fought at 155.
Wow. Now, have you missed fighting?
No, not really.
Really?
I think the big thing is, even if I do miss fighting, the amount of like the pressure that comes with it and how it makes I put so much pressure on myself to perform well, and it affects my family and my girlfriend so much that it's really super selfish, and I'm just not about that selfish life anymore. And you have to be so selfish to be able to perform at the top level. And I can't do that to people around me anymore. And so it's kind of upon me to try and give back to fighting as much as I can. The sport treated me decently well. You know, I made it to the top level, got wins there. did good things, did bad things, and it was all learning. So that really, when you have success, you got to give back, and that's really what I look forward to.
That's why, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I coach wrestling. I would not be anywhere if it wasn't for wrestling. Like, that was everything to me. So I'm excited. I'm excited to actually turn my garage into a wrestling room. It's like a little dojo. I'm going to teach out of there. And the last week's been pretty good. Since the last podcast, I went to Tennessee for the night to do the show for the military. Flew to Nashville overnight, drove 3 hours, get there, there's like 60 people. But there was one really good laugher. Like, she was going crazy. Almost to the point where, like, you thought maybe there's something wrong with her. So that went really well. I was happy about that. And then, you know, these guys, like, I love making the military laugh. That's the greatest. But then I had to fly back, and then I flew back to New York. I mean, back to L.A. from Tennessee the next morning. Stayed at like a Motel 6, you know, like a Super 8. It was like one of those things where, like, you know, like, you have to be out by 11. I'm like, I'll be out by 9. Okay, I'm not trying to stay here forever. And then I had a show at the HaHa, which went well that night. And the next day, my wife threw me this huge party for my birthday. I turned 40. And all, like, it was great. It was all, CB came, and all lots of friends. And Joe was there. Joe was hitting on all these women. Shan and Jerry were there, guys I know. And then, like, Vince Pichel showed up, even though he's got a fight coming up 2 weeks against Gregor Gillespie. And I was, like, putting the cake in front of his face. Like, hey.
Ah, you're the worst.
That was kind of a dick move, but it was funny. But then Eve Edwards was there, and Mickey Gall showed up. And a bunch of Jamie Kilstein, a bunch of jiu-jitsu guys and fighters. It was awesome. It was just all like a bunch of comics friends. It was one of the best times I ever had in my life. I'm like, then my wife got mad at me. I fucked up. So then the next morning she's like, so I'm like, great thing. We watched Rocky IV at the end. She got me a movie theater that you could rent. She got me a popcorn machine, cotton candy. It was amazing. People were smoking weed. It was a blast. And then the next morning, she's like, I get a text at like 9 in the morning. Will you please clean up everything in the backyard for them to? I'm like, okay, no problem. And then I was like, I left and I forgot. So she's like, she got mad at me. I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta get a new agent. I have a new agent meeting. She's like, well, you're gonna have to get a new wife if you don't come home. So then she came home and like, she's 7.5 months pregnant. And I'm not used to her being so like big, which sometimes as a comic you think things and you forget that you like you're so trained to just say whatever's on your mind, and you forget that like there has to be a filter. So I see my wife's belly and I'm like, man, I'm like, wow, I think our kid's gonna be huge. And like, and
did you say that?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And she's like, what? And I'm just saying, it's just so weird that a little thing comes out of that big belly. And then I'm like, ah. And then she's that got really bad. She's like, will you sleep on the couch? And I'm like, oh god. So I had to like, I didn't mean to insult her. I was just, she was laughing but getting mad. But then I was like, yeah, that was bad. And then I'm like, you're my queen. And I was thinking, my dairy queen. But I didn't say that.
You didn't say that one.
No, that's good. I left out. But even like for her Mother's Day, I got her a bracelet, and like I told the lady at the thing that she's pregnant. She's like, oh, good, because this actually you could the bracelet, you could adjust it for your wrist. I'm like, babe, I got it. It's great. She's like, because your wrist, you could adjust the. She's like, how big do you think I am? I'm not the Stay Puft, but you know, she's not that. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. I love her. I would do anything for her. I'm madly in love with her. She's the greatest thing ever happened to me. I just have to be more sensitive, you know, because I think. She's not really gaining the weight. She's just pregnant. It's like, well, she's just like fat, you know. Yeah. And even if she was fat, I like, you know, I would be sensitive towards that. But because it's like it's natural but not natural, you know. And I think that she wouldn't get upset about that, but she did.
Well, and you also have to realize that she's probably going to be a little bit more hypersensitive and yes. Like just due to hormones and then combined with she's not used to being bigger either, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. How long have you had this girlfriend for?
I think year and a half.
Wow.
Maybe a year and 9 months, I think, actually. So, almost 2 years.
That's great.
Yeah.
I remember that one of the saddest things ever between us was when you lost a fight to the guy from Canada. What was that guy's name?
Joe Duffy. He's from Ireland, but he lives in Canada.
Right. Ireland, right. And then I was Skyping you, and I'm like, trying to make you feel better, like that. It was like that night. I think I'm like, hey man, keep your head up. Look at you. You got everything going for you. You got that hot girlfriend. And it was just a silence of sadness. And I'm like, wait, are you guys still going out? And you're like, you just shook your head. And I'm like, fuck her. It sucks anyway. I felt so terrible.
Yeah, sometimes like all the shit just all happens at once. You know. Yeah, but you know it. Realistically, things could have been so much worse, you know. And you know what? It sounds weird, but I'm glad it happened. You know, I'm really happy with who I'm with now. Really like her. We both like corgis, you know. I'm going to get one and name it Banjo.
Nice.
Yeah. So, so other than that, you know, I'm pretty happy with what's going on and what's happening with my life. And sometimes you got to kind of like go that brink of where you're going to break to be able to build yourself up and for everything to start going well again.
Of course. Yeah, 100%. God tests you, I think, and says like, okay, what do you got for me? And I there was one week where like one of the worst weeks of my life was like, there was a family member doing like a close family member doing like heroin and like with her significant other, and that I was flipped out about that. It was like one of those weeks where I went to this college to perform, and the booker cashed my check and didn't tell me. And then I'm like, where's the check? I have it. I sent it. Never sent it. I drove 3 hours from Chattanooga to Nashville, like 4 hours out of the way to get the check from his office. He wasn't there. I go to the bank to cash it. They're like, oh, the check's back. No, it's void. They threaten to arrest me. I get to the college to perform. It's a Bible college.
Oh, no.
And they tell me that like people either get credit for like Covenant or like my show or something. It was like one of those things that I'm like, okay, if it's too dirty, just give me the throat slash. And within a minute, the fucking lady was giving me the throat slash, right? And then I get off stage. She comes up to me ready to yell at me. The kids were all laughing. And I'm like, just before you yell at me, just so you know, the check that you made bounced. And I don't have to even be here. I'm saving your ass. Thank God that actually worked, right? Then I go visit the family member, and the person's living like a maniac. Just trash everywhere. There's a dog locked in a closet. I threatened to kill the boyfriend. Like, mm-hmm. If you ever do this to my family member again, I will murder you. And he's like, let's go fight outside. And she threatened to call the cops. Then I get back, and then this comic punched me in the face. Sucker punched me when I got off stage, saying I stole a joke. I turned around and punched him like 8 times. But it was just like one after another. And you're right, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
But I think that's, I believe in a higher power, and I think that's just they're testing you. Going, all right, because if you can get through this, you can get through anything.
I think it develops a lot of your character. You know, usually some of the most interesting people I have, they've been through some shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it really develops you as a person, you know. Because otherwise, if you don't have these things happen to you, you end up being like human veal, where like you haven't had anything happen to you, where you've just been in this like closed-in box and everything's been nice. And who wants to live like that?
No, but that, you can tell by even art, and the best sense of humor is there are always people that are like strippers, porn stars, people that have been like molested, any AA meeting I've done, any type of drug rehab center, Mexicans, anybody who's been fucked over by like the world and some form or another, always are the best crowds, the ones that I love to perform for. Now let's talk about some stuff going on in the MMA world. Let's talk about the Bellator fights that are going on tomorrow night. You know about them?
Is that 200?
Yes.
Nice.
It's Musasi versus Carvajal.
Ooh, I think that Musasi is like the biggest free agent blunder that the UFC has made.
Pretty much like fucked up Weidman. I mean, Weidman basically quit in that fight. I hate to say it, but that's kind of what happened.
He's one of those guys, he can shift between weights decently well, even though his body kind of stays the same, kind of like bag of milkish. But you know, he's pretty funny too. Like, I've seen a couple of his interviews with, also I like dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
But you know, he's really talented, good jiu-jitsu, good striking, and he's dynamic. I think that it was a major blunder on their part, and I'm picking him in that fight.
By the way, I don't think Chris quit. He just like, it was weird. It was a weird situation. You know that one when he got like...
Yeah, where like it was where they didn't really establish the point down rule kind of.
But Chris had him on the ground, and Chris is a great grappler, black belt level, I mean, or higher, and couldn't finish him.
No.
And he had his back, and he was beating him up from the back. So, all right, so this, we got Michael Venom Page against David Rickles.
You know, it's really easy to kind of pick Venom Page, but I really like David Rickles.
Yeah, I hope he wins.
I want him to win. You know, I like his stick. I've talked to him on Twitter and stuff. He's cool guy. He's funny. He might be a little bit undersized. That's the only thing I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah, and MVP does those weird things that, like, I mean, he knocks people out in 8 seconds that are actually good.
Yeah, It like, and the way he moves is unlike. So how do you find someone that kind of? It's like fighting Wonder Boy, right?
Right.
How do you find someone that's that high level at such a specific, you know, unusual martial art, right? So that's what makes it tough, and he's super explosive.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Rickles wins. I don't like Michael Venom Page's attitude. I don't like.
Is it the Pokemon thing?
It's not even that. It's just more that he doesn't fight that often. It's almost like he just has this, like, I don't like the way he fights, really. I feel like he's not that exciting. I feel like he could be better. Then he made that whole Ronda, when Ronda got fucked up by Nunez, he made a whole video, like, the Ronda dance.
Yeah.
And, you could say, am I roasted? You're sensitive. No, I'm not. But at the same time, when somebody got fucked up like that, I'm not, you know, cheering their loss. I don't do that. So I thought that was kind of in bad taste. And I'd also, coming from him, it's like, really?
Yeah, like, who are you?
Yeah.
Also, I just want to see him fight Paul Daly.
Right.
I feel like that's like that's what should be in, because they're in London, right? They should, that's what they should have had, was those two fight.
What do you think of that Paul Daly fight when John Fitch was punching him and he was booing him along with the crowd?
I thought it was kind of funny, to be honest. I helped Paul Daly cut weight, and like, I've cornered him in a fight. I like him. He's super funny. I think he was trying to get stood up, basically, and also, you know, there's the only thing he could do was to get underneath John Fitch's skin, because he knew that his defense is good enough. He's not gonna get finished, and it's a minute left. But you know, he sounded like the old lady from Princess Bride.
Boo! He did kind of sound like that. But Paul Daly, we know that's his weakness. Like, I don't understand that with certain fighters. Like, okay, we know, like, even, like, all right, Khabib, right? Khabib's weakness is striking. Even though I thought it was a dumb game plan when he did with Al Quinta, at least he's working on his striking. Mm-hmm. His chin is straight up, not good, but he's working on it. Where it seems like Paul Daly, his Achilles heel has always been wrestling.
It's really weird because he works with, what's his name, Kane Johnson, I think, from Bolt Wrestling, a really super talented coach, works with Black House guys. I think that, you know, as soon as the bell goes, it just like, I just want to knock someone's head off. You know, I want to throw that left hook from hell. He has the biggest fucking hands I've ever seen on someone. Like,
No.
I shook his hand and I was like, I don't have tiny hands, but like my hands started to disappear. Like, it's like my hand plus like an inch and a half of extra.
Have you ever sparred with him?
No, thank God.
All right. So Phil Davis versus Linton Bissell. I got Phil Davis all day.
Yeah, Phil Davis for sure.
I like Linton Bissell. He's a good guy. I think Phil Davis is like the most underrated, untalked about fighter right now out there. I mean, he's only loses to Ryan Bader.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost to Anthony Johnson, a couple other guys, but it seems like Bader is his Achilles heel. And every fight with Bader, you could argue he won.
Yeah.
He's right there. And look how good Bader looked against King Mo.
That was nuts. I think the thing is Phil Davis is one of those guys, he doesn't want to talk. He just wants to work hard, you know, do his thing. And you know, no one wants to push behind someone that is kind of vanilla-y personality-wise.
Right.
But wins fights.
Yeah. Yeah. Also on the card, Aaron Chambers, I don't know who that is, Kate Jackson against Anastasia Yankova. That's the girl that they're really getting behind, who is so beatable, but hot. Hot Russian chick, but... It's like, come on, what are we doing here?
That was it, Kate Jackson? Kate Johnson?
You know her?
She trained at Jackson's this camp. I know
Kate Jackson.
I know one of her friends, Carrie Hughes. She's fighting in.
Is Kate Jackson good?
Yeah, I saw her when she fought to get on Tough that one season. She's very talented, very good striking. So that's what makes it interesting, is she's got good striking, and she's big for 125. I don't think Anastasia Yankova is really big for the weight class. I think she could maybe even make 115.
So she could win, you think? Kate Jackson pull off the upset?
I would pick her. In one of those times where you're like, hey, I'm going to pick an underdog, I'd throw some money on her.
I like that. Yeah, Yankova always, like, Bellator, I get it. You want to get hot chicks, but there are a lot of girls out there. I mean, you have Julia Budd. You have real fighters.
Real
Not these fighters. Girls aren't real fighters, but real experienced fighters who tested time. Like, let's focus on them. It's
my big problem with it is it's no longer about the skill of these women that they train hard, if not harder than a lot of men I know. You know, it's not about the skill they bring to the table. It's about how they show their ass on Instagram. Who cares? I don't care if you're a fighter.
Guys aren't tuning in for that. No. Like, there's enough porn out there. There's enough, like, things that you can see where you're not going to tune in to see a hot chick fight. It's not going to be the draw. I mean, maybe it will be if a girl's super good, like a Ronda Rousey, where you're like, dude, she's fucking knocking people out in 12 seconds. Boom. But just because a girl's hot, it's not gonna carry over. I mean, like that one, they were saying that one UFC was like the worst. It's not. It's like that girl from Brazil. I mean, she's the jiu-jitsu girl, like
Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah, Mackenzie Dern.
She's from Phoenix.
Oh, from Phoenix. Like that girl, where it's like she's not ready. If a girl's not ready to be on the main card and she's hot and you're putting her on the main card, I think you're almost doing her more disservice than service.
But at the same time, it's not just with, you know, like let's take Mackenzie. They're doing it with CM Punk or Phil Brooks or wherever the artist formerly known.
Did you ever get that? How close were you getting that fight, by the way?
I don't think very, very close. I said it'd go up to 170, I think.
Did they ever reach out to you?
No. Is one coach, the one with a big beard, said, "Who are you?" I'm like, yeah, that shit doesn't get old. I hear it all the fucking time. I hear it all the time.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah. Like, awesome, cool, super original. Thanks, Conor McGregor.
Well, was it, what's his name? The striking to Duke Rufus? Or?
No. It was the fat guy with a beard and he wears glasses and he looks.
Captain Lou Albano?
Yeah, basically, he's Captain Lou Albano. But, you know, I would have fought him. I think that it's not really a marketable fight. You get this.
Do you think he beats Mike Jackson?
No.
You think Mike Jackson wins?
Yes, 100%. I don't see how. How he wins, Phil Brooks wins, in all honesty. It's tough. Some guys are fighters and some guys aren't. And that's an unfortunate truth. Mike Jackson is a fighter and likes to throw hard. And, you know, he had a super tough matchup against Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall's like world-class jiu-jitsu guy. You know, he had really good match at Brown Belt against Gordon Ryan, you know, and that was a great match. And like Gordon Ryan's tearing it up on Nogi. So, you know, that was a tough matchup, but I think Mike Jackson for sure.
Do you teach gi or Nogi?
I teach both. I prefer Nogi.
Tonight you're teaching?
I'm teaching the gi because, you know, we kind of don't really have a full on, like the ranking system unless you're wearing like the colored rash guards.
Yeah.
It's hard to give stripes on that though.
Right.
Looks weird.
But it'd be cool like if Phil Brooks or CM Punk, like he's fighting and all of a sudden like the lights go out. And all of a sudden, like, Mike Jackson's just lying there. Like, no one knows why. Or...
just like a errant chair shot.
Yeah.
Foreign object.
What's your wrestling name, by the way?
They're right now, they're just using the Danger Zone.
I gotta get a better one.
Well, I didn't come up with that fight nickname. It just kind of stuck, and now it just transferred over to pro wrestling. I think it's just as I'm transitioning, we'll see.
What's your finishing move?
Rings of Saturn.
What's that?
Where it's like the double, remember Perry Saturn?
Yeah,
where you did like the double shoulder lock kind of thing. I did a flying armbar in my last match. So
now, you were looking for a jiu-jitsu match, and there was a guy from here that like wanted to take you up on it.
Was there?
And you were like, "I'll beat you with one arm."
Oh, that's Mike LaRue. Yeah, I'll beat his fat ass.
And is he any good? He seemed like he was pretty good though, right? Or is he any good?
No, he's a balding fat old man.
But he really wanted to go.
Yeah. Like all the proceeds go to charity. Or to like restoring
his. Is he a pro fighter?
No. He just trains.
Who was the pro fighter that was a comic? That was like, his record was like 16 and 17 or something. It was a guy that was like, I trained with him one day. He's a nice guy, but he was a pro fighter from Edmonton. A good looking guy, but he just kept losing.
Oh, Chris Haid.
But what happened to him?
He's kind of fallen off the map. He was working like at the bungee jump part in the West End Mall. And then I think he was going to try pro wrestling, but he's very slight in size.
Right.
You know, and that's part of why I'm okay with retiring is he kind of stayed around the sport way too long.
Yeah.
And it's sad to watch people who stick around way too long and their head gets all busted up and then, you know, they're vegetable for lack of a better term.
100%. All right. So now in LFA tomorrow night, Kevin Aguilar is fighting Tan Lay. I like Tan Lay. Tan Lay actually, he's really good. That guy, he did the Contender Series, and then Jeremy Spoon taking on Damon Jackson. Do you know these guys?
Go Spoon.
Do you know him?
No.
Ray Trujillo, 21 and 20 versus Levi Muse. And yeah, those are the guys I know. But UFC Fight Night, we'll talk about that. Stephen Thompson versus Darren Till. This fight, I got Till. I think he's the real deal.
You know, I was kind of going the same way, and then I watched some of like Wonder Boy's other shots. As long as he's not going against someone who's equally a counterpuncher, he's super hard to time. And I'm going with Wonder Boy. I'm going to disagree. I feel like Darren Till's just not there yet.
But what about that Darren Till sparring video that looked ridiculous? Like, why would he put that up? It looked like he fought a guy from Curbs or something. He just grabbed the guy. It was like, let's go. I mean, he was kind of like that guy who gets beat up by everybody. Idiot. Whatever that guy's name is. That's like, he says he's 190 and 0 or something. But
yeah, I know what you're talking. The guy who's like the boxing champion of the world.
Yeah, there's something wrong with him. Like, but what was that? Why was Darren Till doing that?
You know, some guys, they do it. As soon as the camera turns on, they know someone's filming. They have to look good. And then, like, what? That goober fucking hit him with like one or two decent shots, so that doesn't really bode well either way. There's no room for sparring like that, in my opinion. You know, it's every once in a while you sprinkle in shit like that, but you gotta save the big shots for the fights.
Have you ever had a guy that was going too hard on you and spar, like just ramping it up in sparring?
Yeah, and you tell them to fucking cut it out, and then when they don't, usually I would just do a calf low kick as hard as I fucking can, and you know. Or where you teep them, right, just to below the belly button, like the snap belly, like. So it's.
Did that happen against a pro fighter? Did that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Who?
Yeah. I'm not gonna.
You're retired. Was it Diego Sanchez?
No, actually, you know what? Diego was one of the best training partners I ever had. I've heard people be like, oh, I don't want to go with him. I went with him. It was Diego Brando.
was it really? It seems like that's the kind of guy that would do that.
He likes to spar hard all the time. That's not my thing. And it was like 10 days out. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not getting cut for...
Now, did he, like, when you said, I'm done, does he look, take it as like, oh, I fucking...
No, he started calling me, like, he started getting mad. So it was just like one of those things where, because I don't need an ego in the gym, I just kind of left. You know, as in, like, that's good training for some guys. For me, so close to a fight, I'm not willing to, you know, basically gamble my purse for a pissing contest.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Diego Sanchez, one of my favorite training partners I've ever had.
Are you teaching jiu-jitsu tomorrow? Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday, I am.
What time?
10 o'clock.
Is it gi or no gi?
No gi.
All right, I'll go to... Do you have headgear for me?
Headgear?
Yeah, because I have cauliflower ear, and I had surgery on it when I was 20.
I got headgear.
It was before MMA became popular, and like my ear was like three times as big as this, and kids used to call me Cabbage Patch Head, and so I actually had the surgery. Looking back, I'm like, why did I do that? But yeah, so as long as you have headgear, I'm in.
Yeah, I got headgear. Do you like the ones you guys wear in collegiate, or do you like the normal ones?
Either way.
All right, I got two pairs, so
I'm in Saturday morning. I'm excited.
Are you going to be able to get up for 10 a.m.?
Yeah. Now, I'm a white belt. Is it going to be all fucking black belts trying to go crazy?
No, it's all levels.
But I have really good wrestling, so like I'm able to like hold my own. I just end up in the guard for an hour.
It's like a lot of like technique-driven.
Love it. Good. That's all I want to do. Learn technique.
Yeah, that's the best part.
All right, good.
That's the best part about jiu-jitsu, in my opinion, is you can always learn and get better. Like, there's even a couple other black belts that come to my class. And they learn new stuff, especially with all the new nuances in.
I just always gas out during live rolling, though. I go like two, five minutes, and I'm like, I'm good.
That's on you.
yeah, we got to work on that. So, all right. So now Neil Magny versus Chris White. Craig White.
I like Magny, man. He's dynamic. He's improved a lot. He has some good wins on his record now.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised he beat Carlos Condit last time. I did not see that happening.
I attribute that to having a really good wrestling coach. You know, he had Leister Bowling, I think, was who it was. He's a wrestling superstar, great coach. And they knew that Carlos takes a little bit to warm up, and they were just on him like that the whole fight, right? So it was just good game planning, I think.
And then also Arnold Allen, good fighter, 12-1. Love that kid against Mads Burnell.
Ooh. I'm going to go with Arnold.
Yeah. And then Makwan Amerkani. I love that guy. He's Mr. Finland. He got a blowjob on the podcast when he called in. He was having a girl giving a blowjob during the interview. And I didn't believe until he put the phone up to her. You could hear her sucking.
Jesus.
He's taking on Jason Knight, Hick Diaz.
Ooh, I like that Jason Knight. I like how he fights. It may not like transition well into this fight, but I'm gonna pick Knight.
I love Knight. And Knight's got great 10th planet jiu-jitsu. I mean, he's one of the few guys that really can like really put it in there. Manny Bermudez versus Davey Grant.
I like Bermudez. I like the way he fights.
11-0, undefeated. Eric Spicely versus Darren Stewart.
You know, I'm a big fan of James Wood and those guys at Syndicate, so I'm going to go Spicely.
Me too. Yeah, he came to my show wearing a jean jacket. Him and his whole team wearing jean jackets.
Were they wearing jeans? The Canadian tuxedo?
Yeah.
Solid.
Daniel Kelly, the best 75-year-old fighter on the planet, is taking on Tom Breeze.
Ooh, fuck. I hate... Every time I pick against...
Daniel Kelly
wins...
Rashad Evans. He beat Rashad Evans.
That's so fucked. Like, it makes no sense to me.
But I don't get
it.
The guy comes in wearing a huge brace on his leg. Why aren't guys just kicking that brace off his leg?
I don't know. Like, it makes no sense. He obviously has the worst knees ever. But he makes it work. You know, his awkward striking style. He's like, he's almost so slow that it's an off-speed pitch. You know?
Yeah.
He makes it work. You know what? I'm going to pick Dan Kelly.
And then your fellow Canadian, Elias Theodoro, taking on Trevor Hot Sauce Smith.
I'm going to pick Elias, not just because he's Canadian. I think overall he's the better fighter.
You like Elias? A lot of Canadians they either love him or hate him.
I get along with him.
Nice guy.
He's right? A nice guy. He sure loves him some Elias. But, you know, like...
I think he's kind of insecure, though. I think deep down he's a little insecure.
I feel like he's one of those guys that, like, he'd heard that you gotta love yourself before you love someone else, and he's just stuck up loving himself.
Also, my ex-girlfriend, well, we dated a little bit, is Gina Mazzani, is taking on Lena Landsberg. I gotta go with Gina. She's a cool chick. She's tough, and her wrestling is really good. Her jiu-jitsu is really good. She's a big girl for the weight class. I think she beats Lena Landsberg.
I think so, too. I've never met her. Oh, wait, no, I did. I met her when she fought here.
She didn't like you, right? Didn't she badmouth you?
She badmouthed me because she dated, like, one of my really good friends, and they did a long distance, and then they broke up, and then I'm somehow fucking part of this, even though, I don't know. She seems nice, though.
She saw me. She's like, hey, I saw her for the first time, and, like, she goes, hey, loser, heard you got engaged. That was, like, I was like, thanks, Gina. But she's a cool chick.
She's cool. I really like her brother, Dave.
He's a big dude.
He's in, hopefully he's fighting right away for the UFC title. I like him. He's good shit.
Now, the biggest event of the year in Wyoming, June 2nd, bare knuckle boxing.
Yuck. I just saw this today. I just looked at the card today.
Rico Rodriguez from Long Island. I had no idea he was from Long Island. Is taking on Lewis Rumsey. We know about Lewis Rumsey. Anything?
No. Well, Rico, so I'm gonna go with him.
Me too. Rico tapped like a double leg last fight. Who else is on this card? Beck Rawlings, Rowdy Beck, taking on Alma Garcia. I don't know who Alma Garcia is, so I gotta go with Beck.
No, I'm picking Heather.
But I heard it's not Baron. I heard it's grappling too.
What?
That's what someone said.
That's a bunch of horse shit.
It's gotta be boxing, right?
I'm here for bare knuckle boxing.
Eric Prindle taking on Sam Shoemaker. You know these guys?
I know Eric Prindle. He trains in Prescott. He is fucking gigantic. Like, he's the guy, I remember, who he got kicked in the nuts, and then when he rematched the guy in Bellator, he kicked him right in the sack. he's that guy. Where he went to look like he was doing an axe kick to, like, his belly, quote-unquote, and then he axe kicks him right in the sack. His shoulders, they're huge.
Yeah.
I remember I was making fun of him when I was still at the lab. I was making fun of him.
He was at the lab, that guy?
Well, he'd come down to work with a couple of the heavyweights and stuff just to get extra work in. And
is he good?
He looks like he hits so hard. Like, he's a big fucking guy. He's 300 pounds. And he would do this thing where if you were touch sparring and you, like, landed calm, he'd be like, oh, 1, 2, 3. That was good. And then you do it again. It's like, oh, yeah. And you're like, what's going on? And I'm happy that he's not just pounding my face in the mat. But really nice guy. I'm going to pick Prindle because if he hits you, you go down.
Johnny Bedford's on this against Nick Mamalis.
Oh, didn't Nick Mamalis, he fought in the UFC, didn't he?
He did?
I think so. I'm not positive. I'm going to go with Bedford. That guy's tough as nails.
And then Joey Beltran taking on Tony Lopez.
Lopez. I'm going to go Lopez. I like Beltran, but...
Isn't Lopez like 50?
Doesn't Beltran look 50? And he's like, looks like his stomach, like when he went down to 85 and came back, it's like his stomach never recovered. So it's like a Shar-Pei puppy's face.
Why do I want to watch this thing? I think it's...
Because it's amazing entertainment. That's why.
I really feel like this is good. This is good for some odd reason. All right. Also, before you leave, you got 5 minutes left. So UFC Fight Night, Utica. I'm excited about this. I'm so pissed I can't go because Vince said I could walk with him to the cage. But Jimmy Rivera, Marlon Moraes.
Ooh, you know, I like Jimmy Rivera. He's super, super dynamic. You know, he can strike, he can wrestle. I like him.
Gregor Gillespie against Vince Pichel. Gregor Gillespie is a four-time All-American. They're bringing in Vince to, like, build up Gillespie. I think Vince is going to surprise the whole world.
I think the thing that a lot of people kind of forget is how big Vince Pichel is. For 55, he's huge. He strikes, he can wrestle well. You know, he's multi-talented and just... He can mix it up a little bit better.
And he has no damage on him. He started fighting at 27.
Yeah.
And he took 3 years off. Like, he has no... But Gregor Gillespie is a fucking monster. If it goes to the ground, Vin's going to be in trouble. But Vince knows that. Does it help if you know that?
I think if you can... It helps you with two things. It helps you to kind of game plan for where you want to be. Like, how I'm going to move to make sure I don't get taken down. Also, at the same time is... It prepares him. I have to put in my time on jiu-jitsu, on getting up and on attacking. I don't know if Vince really likes to be a guard player or anything like that. I'm sure he just wants to get up and smash stuff.
That's all he wants to do.
So, you know, it prepares you in that sense.
Jake Ellenberger versus Ben Saunders.
Oh. I'm going to go Jake.
I hope Jake wins. Come on, Jake. I love Ben, too, but, you know, I'm closer to Jake. But these guys need this win. This is like the... Like I feel like Scott Coker's going to be ringside for this one.
Yeah, just wiping his hands together. Yeah, someone's coming.
Exactly. Sam Alvey versus Gian Vellante.
Gian Vellante. He's the funniest fucking guy. Like, at that summit, he was so funny.
Really?
Hilarious.
What was he doing?
Well, he was making fun of Al, which kind of... like... Someone, because I nodded at Al, because it's just like, you know, I try to be polite as possible. I have really no qualms. Like, I won the fight, even though he beat my ass for the first half. And he's just, hey, Al, how's it going? Good, how are you? And some guy's like, who's that? He's like, Mitch, he's good. And then Vellante's just like, yeah, he beat your ass. And I was just like, God.
What a dick. That's really funny. So I like Vellante in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think he's too big, too. Like, I don't know why Sam Alvey's going to 205.
Yeah, he can go to, like, 155. Like, he's got a gut, that dude.
He just... I don't know. I think maybe he just has the genetics for just having a terrible body, you know? Like, it just happens.
That's going to be the ugliest fight, by the way. This Gian Vellante, Sam Alvey. Or someone's going to get knocked out in 30 seconds. If it goes distance, it's just going to be ugly.
I think it's going to be guns ablaze in that first round, and then after that, pace is going to slow.
Lauren Murphy versus Sahara Eubanks.
Big Murph.
I love Murphy. She's cool.
Yeah, she's good shit. She's in a tough fight, but, you know, the biggest thing is you can never count out Lauren because she'll never quit on herself.
No, she's a fucking former heroin addict. Like, died 7 times already. She's got nothing. She fears nothing. She's a badass.
Yeah.
She's ripped, too.
I like her at this weight class, and, she's awesome. Go Lauren.
Nick Lentz versus David Tamor.
Ooh, that's I'm gonna go Lentz. He's got that tough style for some guys, you know, just with
the good wrestler.
Relentless.
Tamor's pretty good though.
Oh, 100%.
I hope Lentz wins. I like Lentz. Jody Esquivel, you train with her, right?
Yeah, I train around her at Jackson's.
Versus Jessica Aguilar.
I'm gonna go with Jody. She's, I think she's a better striker. I just feel like Jag missed her. She missed where she was at her best, unfortunately.
100%. When World Series of Fighting. Yeah. And then finally, Jared the Monkey God Brooks, like him, against Jose Shorty Torres. Just got signed. You know who that guy is?
Yeah, yeah. He was...
It's about time.
Yeah, he's so good. I'm going to go with Shorty Torres, unfortunately. He's got a lot of hype behind him. The only thing you got to worry about is those, like, the quote-unquote octagon jitters. You know, he's been wanting to go there to fight in the UFC for so long. And I feel like it's going to be, like, it's tough. Like, there's all this pressure on you, especially after saying, I want to be in the UFC. I want to be in the UFC. But, you know, he might be one of those guys where he used that to just propel himself to be so much better.
Did you ever have octagon jitters, Mitch Clark?
100%.
Well, what fight?
John Cholish. I remember after we hit a roll, he went for a shitty knee bar. And when we got up, I was like, holy shit, my hands and legs feel like they're filled with lead.
Really?
It was awful.
So you feel heavier?
It was just like I couldn't move. Like and the ending sequence of that fight, he hits. He went for like a Kimura trap, and I was looking to spin around to hit an armbar, or he took my back. So that was like a 50-50. Whoever got there first was gonna. He got to my back and fucking flattened me out and started hitting me.
But you won that fight, right?
No, I lost. I lost. Oh, wow. I just remember I was like so tired to try and get over to try and hit that armbar move. I know like Kimura trap, you know. And it was so debilitating knowing that it could have been better. And the next day, Joe Silva, I'm in the van with him to ride to the airport. He's like, I could see just like you were doing good. And then he just hit the wall. And it wasn't like I was in bad shape. I was in good shape. I was ready to go. But, you know, it's just one of those things where emotionally and mentally, I don't know if I was prepared properly for such a big event.
So what do you have coming up?
I got seminar... June 9th, and then...
Where can people see the seminar? People have to know about it.
Lloyd Minster.
Okay.
And if you're in Prince Albert, like, I just had one cancel. If you're in Prince Albert, June 2nd, tell ADP, LDP to rebook me. And then, you know, I got pro wrestling in July 7th.
Where?
Monster Pro Wrestling in Edmonton, Alberta, Alberta Ave. So come check it out. It's an outdoor show. And... All ages. Super fun. I really like pro wrestling. It's super fun.
Nice. Monday, Tuesday, I'm at the Dime Bar. Next Thursday night, I'm in Dexter, Maine, doing a show in Dexter, Maine at some pub. You can go on the website. It's on the website. Coming up in June, I'm back in Edmonton at the end of June. In July, July 4th weekend, I'm at the... LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere. Hit me up for comps in Las Vegas that whole week, Monday through Sunday at the Stratosphere. Yes, so thank you, Mitch, for coming on the show. I know you got to get to class. And thank all listeners. Take care. Bye-bye. Boca trap, sons and trap, sons and trap, sons and trap, түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр болаа. Даа дөр болаа мөрөө.